out of the pulpit for a couple of weeks, too. Praise the Lord.
Go ahead and just message from the Lord. Next week, we have a missionary in, by the way.
Next week?
RescueHaiti.com. Yeah, that doesn't do anything for you, brother, but in the morning.
I didn't load this thing. I'm in trouble. Turn to 1 Samuel 17. You can give me time to load my Bible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day, Lord. I thank you so much for all the blessings you've already given us. Lord, I thank you so much for salvation and your word. I pray, Lord, that you bless this time. Give me the words you want me to speak. I pray that the Holy Spirit have free reign, free unction. And Satan, I rebuke you. I command your imps and demons to flee and out of darkness in Jesus' name. We was coming back. Me and Pastor was coming back from that church thing. Church Planner, Church Growth, whatever conference that was.
Yeah.
And God gave me this. And I heard as we're driving down, it's amazing how many preachers, excuse me, from the north even, want to sound like a black Southern person when they preach. I mean, this guy flew in from Michigan, and he was almost at times speaking like a black Southern man. And as I was driving by, as Pastor was driving back, and I was thinking about this, I was thinking about Lester Roloff and what he had said one time about people preaching in their own armor. And it reminded me of a story. And David, in 1 Samuel 16, y'all stay in 17. In 1 Samuel 16, first of all, David is anointed king of Israel. He's a teenager. And the minute that he's anointed king of Israel, an evil spirit comes on Saul. Now, they're far away from each other. But somebody in the palace says, you know what? We need to find something that's going to cheer up the king. What we need to do is find somebody to play some music and make him happy. And this one guy says, hey, I know a guy. His name's David. He's a kid. And so Saul sends word to Jesse to send a son up to the palace. So here comes David for taking care of the sheep. And he comes to the palace and He starts playing the harp for Saul, and Saul gets happy again. And Saul is totally delighted, and the Bible says he loves David. In fact, he makes him the armor bearer. He makes him his armor bearer. Then, soon after that, David goes back, takes care of the sheep, and then all of a sudden the Philistines show up, and they got this guy named Goliath. And he's telling everybody in Israel that he's going to kill them, that all they need to do is send one guy out. Excuse me. Send one guy out, fight me. If y'all win, then we'll leave. And if we win, we're going to take over y'all. And nobody in all of Israel will go out and fight. Nobody. And Jesse sends David up, gives him some sack lunch, and go give this to your brothers. Your brothers are hungry. So he goes up and he listens to this Philistine, and he's mad. In verse 29, chapter 17, David jumps up and says, hey, why ain't y'all out killing this guy? Why ain't you going after this guy? You hear what he's saying? And David says, and his brother says, hey, why don't you be quiet? You know, you're just a little bratty kid. Why don't you just be quiet? And David said in verse 29, what have I done? What have I now done? Is there not a cause?
Right.
Is there not a cause? The story goes that Saul gets word that David's going to go after the Goliath. In verse 38, Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded, And David girded a sword upon his armor, and he assayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. You know, everybody wants to, this is what Lester Roloff said, everybody wants to fight in somebody else's armor. I've been blessed to go to all these meetings and heard some great men of God, heard some great preaching, and there's not a one of those conferences, one of those meetings that basically, well, at least Lester Roloff or Jack Hiles or both of them get brought up. Jack Hiles died in 2001. Lester Roloff died in 1982. And in the Baptist crowd and the fundamentalist crowd, they're still revered as great men of God because they were great men of God. But just like Brother Pickett said this morning, they're not God. And if them men were here today, they would tell you that I'm not God. Because even as great men of God they were, they still was sinful men.
Yep.
You know, so Lester was saying in his message that everybody wants to fight in his own armor. I mean, in somebody else's armor. I'm from the South, but I ain't going to talk 90 miles an hour and talk like a Southern black man. Just because somebody else did it and he got somebody to come forward. Or maybe somebody did like that sometime. Because, see, if I was from Michigan, I'd talk like a Yankee. And I wouldn't even think about talking like a Southern black man. I'm not Jack Hiles, although I am from Texas, but I'm not Jack Hiles. So I'm not going to sit up here and stomp and holler like he didn't stomp, but he hollered. I'm not Lester Roloff, so I ain't going to get up here and sing, and y'all better be happy that I'm not going to sing.
Praise the Lord.
But God's given each and every one of us gifts.
Yeah.
Each and every one of us. He's given us gifts. And we ought to use those gifts to further His kingdom. We ought to fight in our own armor. I think it's strange that David was Saul's armor bearer. And yet David went out and did what Saul was supposed to do. David faced Goliath. And David whipped Goliath. But he didn't do it because he was stronger than them. He did it in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
I find it in our spiritual warfare as Christians. And this message came to me for me. Okay? For some odd reason, when I'm at those Presser Fellowships, I am so scared to death. I have never went to a Bible college. I've never went to a Bible university. I haven't spent 20 or 30 years working for God. So I'm scared to death when I'm around those men. For some strange reason. It's spiritual warfare. And I'm letting the enemy get a hold on me. Which I shouldn't do. You see, what God called clean's clean. And when God calls you to do something, you ought to do it whether anybody else thinks you ought to do it or not. I know that sometimes when I start talking to those Yankees up there, that they're going, why don't this dumb idiot guy just shut up because of my speech? And sometimes I should shut up. When I'm around them, I shut up most of the time because I'm scared. I didn't know when I was a Christian, when I became a Christian, I didn't know what spiritual warfare was, let alone what it was all about. Didn't even know it existed. And when I got to the village, I learned what spiritual warfare was. I was naive, and when I got there, I didn't understand why anybody would want to leave that place. Staff or kids alike. I mean, I had been praying for a place that you could pray every morning, that you do devotions every morning, that you'd pledge to the flag and pledge to the Bible and do all these things. God was getting me ready. The Holy Spirit was trying to teach me stuff. He was getting me ready for Freedom Village, and I didn't know it. But I've been praying for all these things. I've been praying for a home like Lester Roloff to start a home down in Texas like that. And the next thing you know, God tells me to quit my job, and now I'm at Freedom Village, where they pledge the flag, they pledge the Bible, they pledge the Christian flag, they have devotions every morning, they have chapel every morning. They do all these things that I was praying about. And you know what? If you're going to grow, if you're going to mature as a Christian, and you don't read your Bible and you don't pray, you're going to get killed. And I watch so many people do that at the village. I watch so many people throw away what they wanted to do because Satan got them. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, please. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You know, Brother Pickett hit on several things in this message this morning. He goes, you know what? I found out that I'm nothing. You know what David said when he came up against Goliath? You come to me, he said, you come to me with a spear and a shield, and I come to you in the name of the Lord. And the Lord's going to win this battle. The Lord's going to fight my battles. You know what? We don't fight. Let's go on with this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, God's going to fight this battle for me. You know, there's a song in the Christian world that says, you're fighting a battle that's already been won. And most of the time, we fight battles that's already been won. I like David because he didn't give back any land that he won. He didn't retreat. There's nothing protecting your backside of the armor of God. There's nothing behind you because you're not supposed to run. You're supposed to face your enemy. He said, he said that fear has torment, but love has cast out fear. And if we have the love of God, we have the power of God in our life, then we shouldn't fear anything. The Bible says we shouldn't fear what man can do for us. We should fear what God can do for us, to us. You see, man may kill you, but God has the keys to hell. And if God's mad at you, guess where you're going to go? We are not at war with man. We are at war with our enemy, who is Satan. You know, there's things when I used to pray for faith. That I used to pray for patience. I learned real quick not to do that. And I used to pray, increase my faith. Oh, Lord, don't do that. You know what happened? You know how He increases our faith? We go through a trial. And I couldn't believe when I was praying for this. I started praying for this and everything started going wrong in my life. I started going through trials. And He was trying to increase my faith. He was trying to say, hey, I'm going to get you through this trial. I'm going to get you through this trial. And I'm going to get you through this trial. And your faith is going to grow. And then finally you're going to be like Abraham and you're going to do what I tell you to do. Because you know you got the faith. And that's what it's all about, is faith. So, I don't know about y'all, but I love watching, I guess this is a man thing, I love war documentaries. I can sit there and watch them all day long, literally. And I had some heroes in my life. One of them was John Wayne. Amen. The younger generation has no idea what the older generation's gone through, and y'all don't know anything. I mean, television was Saturday morning, That was television. And it was cartoons on Saturday morning. Yeah. And then it was Gunsmoke or something like that. Or every once in a while you get to watch a John Wayne movie. And there wasn't any electronics or anything like that. You had to get out there and use your imagination. So when you saw somebody in the movies that you said, man, I want to be like that, that became your hero. I've had a couple of heroes in my life, John Wayne being one. I played golf, so Jack Nicklaus was my hero playing golf. Although I never had used a McGregor iron in my life. I don't know how I hit him. Strange thing, he's left-eyed and right-handed. I'm left-eyed and right-handed. You try shooting gun left-handed. Because for a long time, I shot a gun right-handed. And I could hit nothing. Because I'm left-eyed. And when I turned the gun over here to my left side, I started hitting stuff. I'm not Jack Nicklaus. I'm not John Wayne. I'm not Lester Roloff. I'm not Jack Hiles. I'm not Fletcher Brothers. I'm not Ed Rice. I'm Tracy Moore. And you're you too. Nobody has my fingerprints on this world. In this world. I'm the only one that has these fingerprints. Because God made me original. Now, I go a lot of places and somebody says, man, you remind me of somebody. Aren't you someone? I was in Arizona one time working and somebody said, Paul. And I kept walking. He said, Paul. I kept walking. He said, Paul, I'm talking to you. I looked over. I said, you talking to me? And he said, yeah, Paul, I'm talking to you. I said, I'm not Paul. He goes, you got to be kidding me. You look just like Paul. And I said, I'm not Paul. I've had that happen to me several places around the country. I have a cousin who's a year and a half older than me. Me and him look alike. And I was at my uncle's funeral, and an old guy in our family came up to me and he said, I just saw your dad a while ago. And I said, okay. My dad had been dead for several years. I said, okay. He was talking about my Uncle Richard, who I'm named after. So we may look a lot like other people. We may have people in our family that look like us, but we're individuals. And God made us individual for a reason. You see, I have a gift and I have a special thing that I'm supposed to do. And God loves us, each and every one of us, the same. And He has something special for you to do, too. I'm not supposed to be a Jack Hiles. I'm supposed to be a Tracy Moore. But there's one thing I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to put on the whole armor of God. I'm supposed to, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual weaknesses in high places. It says we're supposed to wrestle. Everybody at the village loved the way I said wrestle. So I walk up to somebody and says, hey, you want to wrestle? No, no, Mr. Tracy, I don't want to wrestle. Can I tell you something? We're supposed to wrestle. It says wrestle. It says fight. You know what we don't do? We don't fight. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to step on anybody's toes. We want everybody to like us. God says we're supposed to fight. We're supposed to fight wickedness. I cannot stand alcohol. I can't. It makes me sick. Every time I walk down to Walmart, walk down that aisle to get water, I almost tear up. I say, God, thank you for delivering me out of that crap. Thank you that I don't have to have another one of those things to be happy or try to make myself happy. I was not happy. Thank you, Lord, for taking me out of that crap. I was at Dandy one time getting gas early in the morning, and this guy staggered out with his 12-pack of beer to go to work. And I had tears running down my eyes. And I said, Lord, that used to be me. I said, Lord, please save that man. Please get a hold of him like you got a hold of me. You see, we're supposed to fight. We're not supposed to condone stuff. We're not supposed to say, you're all right. You're okay. Because, see, that's a lie. That's a lie. See, we're saying, you're all right. You're just going to hell. You'll be okay. You like it when it's warm. But we don't fight. We don't get in the battle. We don't say, hey, you're going to hell. We just say, hi, how you doing? And we don't fight. You see, we need to be in a fight. We need to fight everything that Satan throws at people. Hey, if you're a homosexual, you're going to hell. It's not that I hate you, it's I hate your sin. You see, when I got saved, I didn't know anybody but drunks and drug addicts. I know y'all heard all this before, but you're going to hear it again.
Right.
I couldn't hang around them very long because I hated their sin. I couldn't be around it. In my righteousness that I got when I got saved, I pushed a lot of people away from Christ. A good thing about at the village, I get a drug addict in. When I first got there, 2 weeks, and they was all for drugs, and their mind was coming back. Now it's 3 months. Because they've been drugged their whole life, whether it be Ritalin or Xanax or whatever it is, what the doctors gave their kids because they was a little hyper. My sister called me the other day, and she goes, "You sound sad." And I said, "No, I'm just tired. I'm not sad." She goes, "You're sad. I can understand. I know when you're sad." She goes, "Well, just walk around or do something. You know how hyper you are." And I said, "I'm not hyper anymore." She goes, "That's the only thing that got you through, you being so hyper." And I said, "Yeah, I know. It's sad. When you was hyper when I was a kid, you just went outside and played until you got tired. Now they give you drugs. So your mind's screwed up from the get-go." But I'd get a guy in and get him off his drugs, get him calmed down, get him in his right mind. Might even get saved. Get in the swing of things there. Get him helping out. Get him to be a leader in the hallway. And then some other drug addict would come in. And he would come up and say, "You got to get rid of him, man. I can't stand him. He's ruining the hall." 6 months ago, you was him. 6 months ago, you was him. You see, until you've been loved, until you meet love, you can't love anybody. And then when you get cleaned up, you don't like their sin anymore. And you don't want to be around them. But see, our fight ain't with the drug addict. Our fight is with the guy who's giving him the drugs, Satan, making him go do that stuff. You see, our sin nature. It's not Satan himself, but see, we're fighting against this guy who's trying to kill our kids. And now the government's jumped in here and they want to kill our kids too. You see, a gun never killed anybody.
That's right.
Okay? A knife never killed anybody. A vehicle never killed anybody. The person using them. The people, that plane didn't kill anybody. The people that crashed that plane in the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, they killed somebody. The people that are running people over in New York City in that U-Haul truck, the U-Haul truck didn't kill anybody. The person driving it. The gun is not killing anybody. But see, these liberals want everybody to vote for them, so they're going to say that it's the guns that are killing people. And it's not. The people in Florida, the kids in Florida in that school that got shot up, says, "Where was God in all of this?" Well, kids, I hate to tell you this, but your parents and grandparents kicked God out of school. They kicked God out of school. They kicked him out of your life. Go to Hebrews real quick. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Do you all understand that? That through faith we understand that God created the heaven and earth? What have we taught our kids since we knocked prayer out of school? We've taught our kids that God doesn't exist, that the world evolved. that an explosion happened and everything created. So we've taught our kids since 1963 that there is no God, or whenever they put evolution in. I don't know when they kicked the prayer out in 63. I don't know when they put evolution in. But since the 60s, let's say, we've taught our kids growing up in schools that there is no God. We taught them that life doesn't matter. That if there's a life in front of you and you don't, and it's going to mess up your life, you get rid of it. You abort it. Life doesn't matter. We taught them that money is more important than anything in the world, because mom and dad are out trying to make a living. And here's the TV to raise you. So whatever the TV says, whatever the world says, that's what you're going to do, because I'm over here. Hey, you're a little hyper. I've been working all day. Take this Ritalin. So you'll sit over there and slobber. And I don't have to mess with you. That's what the world does. And that's what we've done to our kids. You know, in the 50s, the worst thing that happened in school was chewing gum in school. I would have been in trouble because I chew gum all the time. You know? I would have been in trouble. What's the worst thing that happens in school now? Okay, there's drugs, there's sex, there's people killing each other. There's people going on Facebook and ridiculing somebody, and they're going home and they're killing themselves. Oh boy, we've evolved. We've done a great thing. You see, them great people in the fundamentalist movement was preaching against all of this in the 60s and the 70s. But we decided that in the church world that we wasn't going to fight. That we was going to conform. That we would just say, well, it's okay. And it's not all right. Verse 13 of Ephesians 6 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. You know what we do? We get busy. I'm tired. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm not going to read my Bible tonight. I'm not going to pray tonight. I'm going to get up in the morning. You know what? I got up a little late. I'll pray. I'll read my Bible when I get home. And can I tell you something? This is Memorial Day weekend. There's not a soldier in this world, in Afghanistan, Iraq, wherever, that doesn't put his armor on before he goes out. You know why? Because there's people with their armor on get killed. But there's people with their armor on that stay alive. They put their helmet on. You know, it killed me. I watched Vietnam deal, and they're shirtless and shorts, no helmet. They're out there like that because it's hot over there in the summer. It's hot. You see them now in Iraq. It's 120 in the shade. And they got 150 pounds of pack on, plus their uniform, their helmets, their body armor and everything. Can you imagine sweating that much and just being so ill? But no way in the world they're going to take their armor off. You know what we do as Christians? We go out just like they were in Vietnam. No shirt, shorts, sandals. I'm wondering why we're getting picked off. It says, wherefore, taking you the whole armor, God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. You know what? People are dropping like flies. You know why? They don't have their armor on. They're not fighting the spiritual warfare that they need. When I left the village, I stopped doing devotions of the morning with the guys. I stopped reading a lot because of that. I stopped praying as much as I used to pray. See, we would pray before devotions, we'd pray after devotions. I would go to chapel, you pray and hear more of God's word, pray after that. I would leave there and I would go and pray at pastor's office, pray there, leave, go get the guys, get in the van to take them to the farm, pray before we left. When we got to the farm, we prayed. There's this one guy that came there. He says, Mom, these people are nuts. They pray more than you do. Come get me out of here. Unfortunately, she did. But see, we sprayed up. We was red up. We had on our armor. If I knew that I was getting a guy in, I would go around and tell everybody at the hallway, read more, pray more. There's a guy coming in, he's bringing his demons. You would watch. If I had most of the heroin, most of the drug addicts that I had were heroin addicts. Not all of them, but most of them. You would get a guy in that was on heroin. And the guys that were on heroin that had been there for a long time didn't do too much. You know, they go like that. But the guy who just came in that was off heroin, they got off heroin, and the new guy came in, he would start doing this. Because he saw him on heroin. Everybody came in were high. They were supposed to be 2 weeks clean, but everybody came in high. And that guy would just start shaking because he could tell that guy was on heroin. I want to tell you something. Satan knows when you're reading and praying. Satan knows when you're weak. That little story in Peter where he says that we have an enemy that's like a roaring lion just looking and waiting to see whom he may devour. Have you ever watched a documentary on the lions? The lions will be sitting there eating, or not eating, the lions will be sitting there watching the impalas, the antelope. And they'll be in a big herd, and they're not moving, they're not doing nothing. They're just waiting. They're looking. They're seeing who the weak one is. They're seeing the one that they may devour. And when they say, okay, we got him, then the lionesses will disappear, and the lions will disappear, and the lions will come over here and roar and scare the herd. So they run the herd towards the lioness, and the lioness gets the one that's bad. You know what? We don't read, we don't pray, we go out and we get ate up. Because we're not fighting. We're not putting on the whole armor of God. We're worried about what somebody else is doing. We're worried about what they're not doing. We're worried about this. I saw this at Villages all the time. You know what the reason we started praying when we got to the farm also? I cracked two of my ribs. And I was in bed for 4 days. But the next morning, the guy who helped me out at the farm came in. And I said, look, I want you to understand. I'm going to be out there in a couple days. Don't worry about it. But I want you to understand the enemy wants to get a hold of this. I said, when you get out to the farm, I want you to pray again. We always prayed before we left. We started praying when we got there. Because somebody had just came and talked to me about Satan. And he was in the army. And he made a circle. And he said, you ever heard of circling the wagons? And I said, yeah. And he goes, when you circle the wagons and everybody's shooting out, the Indians can't come in. But if you get a guy over here and he's shooting at a guy that's inside the circle, then one of them's going to get hurt, one of them's going to get killed, and then the enemy's going to be able to come in. You know what we do as Christians? We shoot each other. We shoot each other. He don't like Jack Hobbs. We need to get rid of him. Well, he don't sing. We need to get rid of him. Hey, this guy, I don't like him. Let's get rid of him. Okay, well, guess what? You're going to have to do what he does, too. And that's what happened at the village. There's a lot of people that left because somebody else didn't like them. So guess what? They ain't going to hire nobody else, so now you get to work. You get to do what they were doing. And you get burnt out. You get burnt out because you don't put on the whole armor of God every day. You see, you don't read as much as you used to. You don't pray as much as you used to. And Satan knows you're weak and he gets you. He picks you off. Let's look at some other things. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You know what? It really doesn't matter what so-and-so says. It doesn't matter what Dr. Spock says, how we're supposed to raise our kids. You're supposed to raise your kids like the Bible says. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. You're supposed to live right. I don't know. I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was Bob Jones or somebody, but I can't remember. But one of them said, do right until the stars fall from the sky. Do right. You know what you're supposed to do as a Christian? Do right. We're supposed to live righteously. We're not supposed to live like the world. You was talking about that Mark had that thing on his shirt, that Bible verse, and vaping and drinking a beer. I wanted to tell him, take that off your shirt. If somebody came by and says, that's a Christian, and he's doing all that stuff, you're not a Christian doing that stuff. I'm sorry. You're not a Christian. You cannot be. Jesus doesn't touch anything he doesn't change. I used to be a drug addict. I used to be an alcoholic. I used to be all those things, but God saved me. I don't do that anymore. It makes me sick to my stomach. And I'm sorry, but I'm not going to another Memorial Day over there. I'm not. Because it's sickening. Not because of them. Because of where it's going to take them. You see, I've already been down the road. I know where the road leads. And it's sickening. I'm not going. I'm not going to be a part of it. Because I wouldn't be a part of it when my friends back home are there. You see, I love them. I know y'all love them. But my friends, who I loved, I walked away from. Either change, live right. I love you. God loves you. But live right. Or I don't want to be a part of it. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I don't want to fight anybody. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hey, check this out. This is how we really fight. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Look, somebody in our family may not be prayed up. My family back home are not prayed up. But I'm praying for them. Hey, one of our missionaries may not be prayed up. We need to pray for them. One of our church members may not be prayed up, but we need to pray for them. You know why? Because the enemy is after them. You see, we're supposed to fight. We're supposed to withstand the devil. We're supposed to withstand the world. And we're supposed to stand up and say, hey, this is wrong. If you're going to hell, this will lead you to hell. Turn, repent. I said a prayer in 1987. I didn't get saved in 2006. A prayer does not get you saved. I've seen so many people come to the village and say, well, they tell us to say this prayer and everything will change. No. When Jesus touches you, that's when you'll change. That's when you change. You see, I'm nowhere near perfect, nor will I be until I meet him that day, and nobody else will be either. But there's got to be a change in your life if you're saved. My wanter changed just like that. My wanter changed. I didn't want to do the things I used to do. I wanted to be around Christians. I wanted to have a Christian friend. I'd never had a Christian friend in my life, and I said, Lord, give me a Christian friend. I'm lonely. I want somebody that I can talk to about God. He gave me a Christian friend. I could talk to a lot of people about God. Go to 2 Timothy. We heard this morning. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. I went home looking for this I didn't find it, but I love the Battle of Hue. It was a Tet Offensive in 1968 in Vietnam. The city of Hue was their religious site, and whoever owned the city of Hue owned Vietnam. So they went in there with 6,000 Viet Cong. And they sent a company out there to help. The people that was there, I think, I forget how many people was there, 100-something people for the whole city. And they sent a company up because they went out and tried to stop them, and they couldn't. So they sent a company up, Alpha Company. They got blown away. They sent Golf Company up there. They got blown away. And they sent Fox Company up there. And I don't know how many companies they sent up there. But they went up there, and they was going to get that city back, no matter what the cost. They said they would fight and fight, and they said wherever you were when it got dark is where you slept. They said if you was in a chicken coop, that's where you slept at night. If you was in some alleyway, that's where you were. If you was some building, wherever you were, because you couldn't say, okay, well, we'll go back to camp. Because the enemy had them pinned down. 6,000 against a couple hundred. They had orders that they couldn't demolish any of the buildings. It was a spiritual city. They did the same thing in the Philippines. So they couldn't go in there with a big mortar or anything because it would hurt the city's buildings. So they kept on going, kept on going, kept on going. Finally, a brigadier general gets there. You know, they finally get enough people there, and he goes, I don't care what they say. I want some mortar rounds. I want some jets coming in here. And they started bombing them. And that's what really broke the tide. But they didn't change their uniform. You know, you get these people saying, well, we've got to change to make the times. They didn't change their uniforms. Every one of them were Marines. They had a Marine uniform when they got there, and they had a Marine uniform when they left, whether they was dead, alive, or wounded. They didn't change their uniform. You know what this book says? It says, put on the truth. You can't change this truth. Although they tried to change it, but the truth's the truth. We're going to get judged by this book. We're not going to get judged by anybody else. We're going to get judged by what this book says. You know, they didn't put on another uniform. They didn't try to hide who they were. Although the Viet Cong did, they went into the hospital and some of them got shot because this Viet Cong got in a nun's uniform. Put the dress on and everything. And when they was going through there, the nun, who was the Viet Cong, shot everybody up. So, that's what the enemy does. The enemy tries to look like us. To try to act like us. That happened in the book of Acts when Ananias saw everybody patting Barnabas on the back because Barnabas went and sold everything he had and laid at the apostles' feet. And they said, oh man, we want to be like Barnabas. We want everybody to like us. So we'll sell something and we'll give part of it, but we'll give some back. And then they was killed like that because the church was pure at that time. Pure. I watched another thing. I don't remember if this was about Battle Way or if it was another battle. But the guy who was telling it was a retired general at the time. At the time of when he was in Vietnam, he was a colonel. Turn with me to Hebrews 2, please. And I'll end. He was a colonel at the time of this battle. And he was walking through the wounded. And he got up to the sergeant. And he said that sergeant was bloody from head to toe. He'd just been shot up. And he was going to walk by him, but that sergeant reached out and grabbed his hand. And he said, my captain was magnificent. His captain got killed. Most everybody in his platoon got killed. He said, my captain was magnificent. Hebrews 2, verse 10. Says, for it became him for whom all things and by whom all things and bringing many sons into glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. I want to tell you something. When our captain was on the cross, he was magnificent. He died for our sins. He died that we might have life. It's great that we celebrate Memorial Day because we ought to give homage to all those people who died to keep this country free so we could come in here and we could worship freely. That a Buddhist could worship freely in this country. That a Muslim could worship freely in this country. That we had freedom for religion. It's great that they did that, and we ought to pray homage to them. When we was in Capital Connection, we got to go to the mall, and that was awesome. The only thing we didn't get to go see was the Arlington Cemetery because we didn't have time. I wish we did. It was awesome. But there was somebody else that paid a price for us before all that happened. And his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if God looks down on this earth and sees all the filth and the stink and the crime that we have allowed. We've allowed it. You know, we've killed 60 million babies in this country. Mm-hmm. And we can't say, well, the liberals did it. Because aren't we Americans? So we killed 60 million babies. We kicked God out of school. We kicked God out of our lives. We kicked God out of this country. Yet we still want Him to bless us. We've changed His word. And I don't remember in the Bible somewhere, but it says, first of all, in Revelation, it says, don't add or take anything away, or you will be cursed. How in the world can we say bless us if we do that? How in the world can we say bless us if we kill babies? You know, we talk about these guys that they're shooting up these schools, and it's bad. They killed 17 people in Florida. That's terrible. But can I tell you something? That in Buffalo, 1.7 people die of overdoses every day. 1.7 every day. We're teaching kids homosexuality in elementary school. God bless us. We're drugging our kids left and right. God bless us. We're shaking our fist at God, saying we're going to do what we want to do and you're not going to make us do anything different. God bless us. I was thinking, what would Lester Olof do? What would Jack Hiles do if he was here? You know, we ought to have some heroes in our life. But what we really need is Jesus in our life. What we really need to do is be able to fight for what's right. That we live right. That we do right. That we'd always have the truth in us, saying, hey, you know what? You may hate me. You know, some of my friends that I had before would do anything for me. I could call them up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Hey, I need this. You know what? If they could, they would do it. But through my hating their sin, I walked away from them. And I didn't want to have anything to do with them anymore. You know what? By doing that, some of them got saved. Some of them started going to church. Some of them got saved. And some of them said, you know what? We don't want to have anything to Tracy anymore. I wasn't there buying her drinks or her drugs anymore. But this one thing's for certain. I don't hang around anymore. And I don't want to hang around anybody that does. Lee Pickett was talking about, or Brother Bennett was talking about being around when they started talking in tongues and he jumped up and ran. I don't want to be around any of that. That's of Satan. There's a lot of stuff of Satan. But we hang around it. We say it's okay because we're hanging around it. I don't know of too many of the Marines that were in Way, the city of Way that took it over, that would say, you know what, I didn't sign up for this. One guy was saying, Master Sergeant was saying, I seen guys that were shot that was wounded once, twice, even some three times, that didn't leave. Even if we took them back to the back, they would hobble back in because they needed the rifles. You see, we was in it together. We was fighting for each other. And that's what kept us together. See, if one went down, we would help him. This one guy said, I had no doubt in my mind that if I got killed or wounded, that my body would not lay in that street, that somebody would come get me. And he said, I did everything in my power to do the same thing for somebody else. You know what? If we got together and we really fought as that well-knit family that we call our soldiers, if we fought like them, there wouldn't be a day one that we'd walk out without our armor on. There'd even be one day that we got up and we didn't help each other, whether by prayer, whether by anything else, that we would say, you know what, my family means more to me than anything in the world. You know what we need to do? We need to see Jesus means more to me than anything in this world. Jesus died for me. My friends didn't die for me. In fact, the people that I really called friends weren't my friends. I had two people in my life that were really friends. Two. One of them's dead now. And I'm really not sure if he's saved or not. We owe it to Jesus. We owe it to Jesus to fight for what's right, to do what's right. We owe it to each other to do what's right, to fight for each other, to do what's right. We owe it to the people who died for this country, fighting for this country, to get this country back to where it needs to be. You know how to make America great again? Get back to God, because God's the one that made it good in the first place.
Amen.
That's how we make America great again. Not by our economy, not by our military, but by God. You know how to make our lives great again? Get back to God. Do what's right. Tell the truth. Hey, I love you, but that is leading you straight to hell. I love you because I'm telling you that. And if I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the great, great heroes of the faith that we have to look up to. But Lord, we're not supposed to look up to man. We're supposed to look up to you. And Lord, I pray that we would look up to you, that we would take our orders from you, that we do with the things that please you and nothing that displease you. Lord, I pray that we would fight, that we would wrestle, that we wouldn't stop wrestling. Because the enemy's not going to stop until the day we die or the day you come back and call us home. So Lord, I pray, Lord, that we could fight the good fight, that we could finish our course, that one day we'd be laid up a crown of righteousness for us. Lord, I thank you for that. Give us a good night in Jesus' name. Amen.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Praise the Lord.